Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. God bless all of you on this blessed Saturday night once again. This is Brother Nate with another God's Word to Man broadcast, and we're grateful once again to Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, who has given us opportunity once again to share the Word of God again with you. We thank God for all of you that are listening to this broadcast, and once again, it doesn't matter what part of the world you're listening to this broadcast at, doesn't matter what nationality, color, race, or gender you are, I want to welcome you to another God's Word to Man broadcast. The phone number is 323-870-3403. That's 323-870-3403. Now, if you have any prayer requests, any comments, any question about the lesson, call us at this number, 323-870-3403. The phone lines are open at all times throughout the broadcast. For those of you that don't like doing it over the air, contact us at the email address, godswordtoman@gmail.com. That's GODSWORD, the number 2, MAN@gmail.com. And once again, whatever the Lord gives unto us, that is what we're giving to you. Praise be to God. So once again, we're grateful on this blessed Saturday. For those of you who have been following us on Blog Talk Radio, hey, you know what time it is. It's Heart to Heart with Brother Lee and the Handmaidens. I'm also joining them this night in the name of Jesus. And we are grateful once again for this opportunity to share the Word of God again with you. And now as we await till our brother come on, I want to take this time once again to thank God for all of you that have been following us on Broad Talk Radio as we give the gospel of Jesus Christ to you, the listener. Amen. We've been commissioned by Jesus to do this, and therefore we are going forth and proceeding on to be obedient to his will, because it is the desire of the Lord Jesus Christ for you to hear the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Glory to God. And we just want to say it to you again that Jesus is doing a work in these last days. He's sending the Elijah that he promised in his word in Matthew 17 and Malachi chapter 4 to do what? First off, to restore all things. The standard of the Lord has to be restored even among the body of Christ. Many of you are seeing the standard of the Lord just leaving the churches, or in other words, it being, let me put it this way, it's being pushed out of the churches. Now it's more like a worldly standard going on and carnal and fleshly works. And Jesus is not coming back for a church that is established or built on that. He's coming back for a church that is built upon his word, okay, his standard, amen? And so for those of you who really is into the Word of God and into Jesus, and you're discouraged because you're seeing these things happening in the church, you're seeing the standard of the Lord being pushed out, hey, be encouraged. Yes, Jesus is doing something. I know some of you thinking that, okay, this is the way it's going to be. Oh, man, this is terrible. And you may be thinking that Christ is not doing anything, but I promise you he is. Just because you don't see it, he's doing it. And the Lord wants us to tell you that he is sending the Elijah to restore all things. Amen. Glory to God. He said in Daniel chapter 2 that the kingdom of heaven, he lets you know that God is going to establish and set up his kingdom in the last days. That's the act of restoring people. His kingdom here on earth. Glory. I sense the Holy Ghost to tell you that. His kingdom here on earth. Hallelujah. For him to have to restore, that means they had to go through something where it was not the same like it was when he set it up. So therefore, he is restoring the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Thank you, Jesus. So these things you see that's happening in the churches, be encouraged in the Lord. And don't think that Jesus is not doing something, because he is, okay? He is preparing the people that he's coming back for to receive. Hallelujah. Glory. Hallelujah. And all this junk you see going on in the churches, oh, no, he's not accepting all that. No, he's not accepting all that. Jesus is coming back for a people that he set up. Right now, we are so messed up in Christianity, it's pitiful. And Jesus is not coming up to a messed up church. He's coming back to a church, the Word of God said, without wrinkle, spot, or blemish. Okay? Understand that. So for those of you that are seeing these things, seeing the standard of the Lord just being pushed out of the church, and you're discouraged, you're sad, and you're thinking, oh, my God, this is the way it's going to be. Oh, Lord, look, I want you to understand, and God wants you to know, no, it's not. not with the true believers. Amen. Glory to the living God. Thank God for his word. Amen. Thank God for the precious word of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Glory to the living God. Hallelujah. That gives me encouragement, people. That encourages my heart. Amen. To know what the Lord is doing. And you know, there's many that, you know, think that, quote, we're preaching another gospel when we tell them about Jesus ascending to Elijah. Oh, no, we're not preaching another gospel. You know, if we were telling you that the blood of Jesus doesn't do anything, it has no power, Jesus didn't become sin that we may have life, if we were telling you all that, they're not going to understand you talking about preaching another gospel. But we're not preaching another gospel. We're preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's the gospel where he's causing Christianity to flow as one. See, when we are preaching a gospel where God accepts us being separated, if you want to talk about another gospel, well, that would be another gospel. Because God doesn't accept Christianity separated as it is now. Jesus not up in heaven saying, you go, boy, that you are this, and you go, girl, you are that. No. He looking for a unified people. That's the gospel. Hallelujah. That's in the good news package. Hallelujah. And he's sending the Elijah to restore all things. He's going to restore unity among the faithful. See, not just anyone. See, that's why we get in these churches. We think it's just anybody. Let's get deeper with this. We're thinking that just anybody and everybody's going to heaven. They ain't. Let's be real about it. They aren't. Everybody's not going to heaven. It seems like just like almost every funeral you're going to, especially here in America, old Joe, the one that was cussing the Lord Jesus and cussed you out and threw you out when you trying to tell him about Jesus, Joe and died now, he going to heaven. No, Joe ain't going to heaven. If he rejected salvation and rejected Jesus as being Lord and all that, you think that Jesus going to say, come on in the pearly gates? Why would he want to go up there anyhow when he rejected the Lord? Amen. See, we got to understand that we serve a God that got great sense. We serve a God that got way more sense than we do, okay? We act like God is just this weakling that just going to accept anything, like he has no standard to himself, no organization, okay? That's the kind of God we act like we serve. And so just anything goes. Amen. Now, some of you say, no, we don't. Oh, you'll be surprised with some, quote, so-called professing Christians think. See, we throw up the long-suffering and he's God of love to excuse sin. That's why we throw it up in the air. Amen. Let me pass my brother on here. God bless you, brother. Once again,
well,
how is your faith?
I'm looking at my faith and I say steady gold. The captain says steady gold. Ship. Steady gold. Our faith has to increase more and more, and we have to attain the faith that overcometh all things. So still a journey and a work in progress. So thank God.
Amen.
For another day.
Amen.
Evening in some places and night at other places and dawn probably at other places. It's amazing. On our side, the time of frame is different. What do you call it? We have four basic time zones, I guess. So while we're talking, on the other side, it's 12-hour difference, or it's night or day, or evening or afternoon. So, you know, different time zones. I guess
right.
Nobody can know the day or the hour. Yeah. Step a bit, please. You know, we have four time zones on the earth, and no one can know the day or the hour of the Lord coming, because if we were to try to name the hour, the day, or the hour that he's coming, it would would be 24-hour difference far north, and so we couldn't get it straight because in our zone, it'll be 12 hours, and the next person would be 12 hours, so nobody can really know the day or the hour. Because the time zone, we're not even permitted you to know the day or the hour because the time zone of the earth is so different. So in the North Pole, they were saying Jesus is going to come on Friday at 2 p.m. And then over here where I'm at, it'll be another totally hour difference, you know. So no man can know the day or the hour.
Well, brother, I wish what you do is do me a favor and tell some of these ministers to quit trying to give an approximate time. Wish they would stop doing that, you know, misleading people, trying to tell them what they think.
Well, I think that where it gets confusing, the Bible do give certain time. It does give time about certain events that's going to take place. In Daniel and Proverbs, it gave a certain year. It even gave a particular year that Jesus was going to be born. But here's the thing about the confusion. Jesus said concerning his second coming, no man is given this secret to know the day or hour. He doesn't say we can't know the seasons, but he doesn't say no one is allowed to have this entrusted. Not even the angels know the day or hour. Now, he does tells us in prophecies, because they knew in prophecy that it was time for the Messiah to come, because there were certain events that took place that they know at the first coming of the Messiah. They knew it was time. Some of the prophecies and the scribes knew that it was time for him to be born. So there are certain things God do allow us to know, particularly concerning time and seasons, but not day and hour of his coming. So there has been a lot of confusion on the last about his coming, and people have missed it and got it wrong, and they're just confusing. And so he does tell us in Daniel and in certain Isaiah about certain things are assigned, given concerning certain events to take place, but not, I'll say repeat so we understand that we can know a particular time. Do you know that the Bible gives a particular time that Israel was going to be reborn in 1948? He also gave a prophetic time about 1967 about Daniel's prophecy about Israel will recapture Jerusalem and enter into the old city. He also gives the times in 2300 days. So there are things that we can know in the mysteries of God, but one thing we cannot know and will not know, not even the angels, not a son of man knoweth, the day or the hour of his second coming. So that's not even given to anyone but the Father. So now, you know, so that has caused a lot of confusion. I was just reading something the other day, and I was looking at the history of the witnesses. In the beginning, they were not called Jehovah Witnesses. Their founder was Charles Russell back in 1830. But he had began to set dates. And he set the date of the end of the world. They first set it at 1870, and then that didn't happen, so they moved it on, and they kept moving to 1930, 1919. That didn't happen. Then they said 1974, 1984. And the problem about that is that Jehovah always jumping on other people about making dates, and their founder made it was so funny. They always say they jump on other religious about setting dates. They set more dates than anybody about the end of the world. That's what's
well,
so
know
amazing
what?
About that.
Well, you know what, brother? You notice they don't never bring his name up. They don't too much bring up his name. Even when they're talking.
Well,
to you.
They're a little better. They're a little better now. They're a little better now, brother. They're,
oh,
give
okay.
me a little credit. When they first, I noticed them years ago, they wouldn't mention his name. You couldn't mention the name Jesus. But now they have got a little smarter. They say his son.
Oh.
So, because so many people were slamming doors in their face, they had to change a lot of stuff, their method. And so now there's two things back in the early days when he used to come out, two things you couldn't mention. You couldn't mention the name Jesus Christ too much. Oh, it would get upsetting. And then the next thing, you couldn't mention the Holy Ghost, the Spirit of Truth.
Yeah.
That was.
Oh, yeah.
Then the third thing, the second literal body coming of Christ. Oh, that's upset. Then the next thing you couldn't mention, that hell is a real place, everlasting fire.
Oh.
Those things, oh, man, they would get just. But they, as they went along, they found out they had to make some changes because so many people were slamming doors. So they got a little smarter. Otherwise, they start mentioning his son. They'll say his son, you know. They say his son or this. So they got a little smarter in their approach. They didn't change their major doctrine. It's still full of holes and lies. So why should you? You shouldn't say that, Brother Lee. Well, what should I tell? Shall I tell a lie and say what they're saying is true? So that make me a liar.
No. Right.
So. Should I warn the people? No, you should not warn the people. You should let them continue to believe those lies. You should mind your business and just keep your mouth shut and let them go down the road of destruction and the deception. Well, then you'll have to go back and rebuke Jesus, because Jesus spoke very, very sharply about deception, and he warned people and in his day. So you'll have to go back and rebuke Jesus if you're going to rebuke me. If you're going to get mad at me, you have to go back and get mad at Jesus, what he said about the destruction of Jerusalem and the Jews and the liars. And you have to go back and rebuke Jeremiah, Isaiah, Hosea, Moses. You have to rebuke all of them. you just can't stop at me. You have to rebuke all of them. And especially John the Baptist, because he cried out, oh, you have to really have to rebuke him.
You might have to handcuff on
you just
John
put the handcuffs
and
lead him
on
down in the dungeons. Yeah, you just had to put him out the church because he cried loud and spanned up. They said, John the Baptist, you keep too much noise up in here. You got to go. You got to go. You got to go. I'm sorry. We don't allow that. So they had to put him out the church. The Adventist church, you had to put him out. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Brother, like you have said before. And I seen this even the more. The Christians, and like I said, not trying to be judgmental, because people like to throw that word judge in the mouth, but I got to be honest. The Christians that won't speak up, that won't stand, they in the corner. But the funny thing about it is they speak against the Christian who is speaking out. And that's amazing. The ones that fearful won't open their mouth, won't say nothing, just let abomination run all in the house. They in the corner hiding. But the Christian that's speaking up, calling that abomination a sin, and saying that what? That they're lying, like you just saying, they speak out against that Christian. It's amazing.
The devil has not changed his program. Just because time has passed, 6,000 years since the fall of man, almost 6,000 years, the devil has not changed. See, here's the problem about people not understanding about the nature of evil and the nature of God. The nature of God has never changed and will never change. He's still holy, just, righteous, and pure. He cannot change what he is. And the nature of Satan and evil can never change. No matter how much time passes, he's the same. It's the same program, the same evil, the same master of junk. He is unchangeable. He is fallen, rebellious. Jesus said that Satan is a killer, murderer, destroyer, deceiver, a filthy liar, deceiver. He cannot change. That's his nature. God, the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, they cannot change. When they say he's the same yesterday, his nature, his character, and his working with man is unchangeable. So, the devil used the same old method that he's always used. Oh, like I had my 15-minute broadcast on WBGBX 1570 AM in Chicago.
And I was telling people, the man has not changed. He still has the Adamic sinful nature of Adam until Christ come and transform and change him. Now, listen. You see all this stuff that's happening to America? People are troubled. But do you not know the same thing happened in Israel and in the days before he destroyed Noah? The same spirits, the same environment are happening because Satan does not change his tactic or his ways, nor the evils of man has not changed. That's why Ecclesiastes says, that which has been, was been, will be. There's nothing new under the sun. It just baked over again. Nothing new under the sun. Nothing new. Same working until Satan and his working with all the demons and activities in there is the same. God Almighty, the eternal God, Yahweh, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and his son, the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is working the same he did always, but in a different and a more advanced in the New Testament than in the Old Testament. He actually dwells in men. He actually speaks to men and guides individually. He works in man. He shows himself mighty in the last days. Now, you notice that most people today, even in some of the Christian faith, do not believe that the Lord's nature, his character, his pattern of working and speaking and dealing with man, they do not believe much of it. They believe that it has changed. It is not anymore. He doesn't operate as God or as Redeemer, as spokesman, as demonstrator, as deliverer. They believe that that was way back there. He cut that off, and he doesn't do that anymore. That's called dispensation. See, the devil has deceived mankind with this dispensation stuff. There are people today in era who believe that the millennium has already begun. That they are called post medium millennium. These are wonderful, God fearing, saved people, but are misunderstanding the scripture. That's all. Then there is deception. Then there is error. Then there's false religion. Then there's false devils and demons, seducing spirits, doctrines of devils. Doctrines of devils are evil to spot. They are occult. Like, the Mormons are in a... I'll give you an example. The Mormons are a cult. They are a culted religion with demons of doctrines of devils. The Roman Catholic Church, who has many, many wonderful good people in all the earth and all religion, the Roman Catholic is in an occulted Babylonian religion. It is not Christian.
Right.
Now, what's my authority? What is the reason I would say such hateful, diabolical, evil, offensive things? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You ought to be ashamed. Well, if Daniel was not ashamed, Isaiah was not ashamed, Paul was not ashamed, Peter was not ashamed, John on the Isle of Revelation on the Parliament was not ashamed, why should I be ashamed? These are the things that they said.
Amen.
These are not my words in my revelation. He said the Antichrist, the anti-God, anti-gospel, the apostate church would imitate itself for 1,216 years. That's Rome and the Roman Papal Church. Well, you shouldn't say that. Well, maybe you're talking about yourself shouldn't say that. I'm going to say what the words say, what the gospel say.
Right.
I am not afraid. I'm not ashamed. I'm not going to duck it. I'm not going to hide. I'm not going to make believe. I'm not going to lie to myself. I'm not going to lie to other people. My job is to open the eyes of the blind and the deaf to hear. If you are afraid, you just have to stay in your corner.
Amen. Amen.
And when you will stand before God and say, why do you proclaim the whole counsel of God? Well, you know, I didn't want to hurt nobody's feelings because, you know, they might get mad at me, upset with me. What if Noah had took this position and said, I can't say that, Jehovah. I can't do that. I can't tell these people. I can't proclaim and declare this. I can't do that. No, I can't do that. I can't do that. They'll dislike me. They'll disfellowship me. They'll put me out. I won't have no friends. I won't have no buddies if I do that. Jesus said, if you proclaim in the 10th chapter of Matthew that if you stand up in these generations and proclaim the whole counsel of the living God concerning the gospel and coming Christ, you will be despised and hated by many people.
Yeah.
You will be rejected by your own love people, your love family. He said, your sisters, your brother, your wives, your sons might even hate you and despise you. He said,
yeah,
your worst enemy in the 10th chapter of Matthew could be your own family when it concerning the gospel. He said that. He said there'll be a separation. You have to step on this side of the line and stay on that. If your family despise and reject you and hate you and turn away from you, what you going to do? You're going to compromise most people. And that's what most people are doing, compromising their faith in eternity. Jesus said, who do you love more? Well, I love my wife and family and my mother. That's good. That's wonderful. That's good. I love my neighbor. That's good. Now, do you love me more? Well, I love you, Lord, but. I love you, Lord Jesus, but.
Yeah.
There is a stipulation and a limitation on that. But I love my wife, my mother more. I love my job. I love my business, my money. I love myself more. More. There is a decision that Job had to make. Abraham had to make. Everyone has to make it. Job had to make a decision. His wife said, curse God and die. You out there sitting out there stinking with boils and lost all the money, your house, your home, your family, your children. You sitting there telling me God is a just and a righteous God. Curse God and die.
Yeah.
Adam had he listened to a voice through his wife that he should not. This is a time you can't listen to loved ones. You have to draw the line in the sand.
Right.
Yes, there is a time that all had to draw a line. Jesus could not listen to his Jewish people, his Jewish nation, his community concerning the will of the Father, not even his own stepfather and mother, who he says, I must be about my father's business. Woman, don't you know I must be about my father's business? And Mary did. She accepted that when he was 13 years old. He said, woman, don't you not know that I must be about my father's business?
Yeah.
There is a time, a line of demarcation where you must decide. And each of us are going to be called to a test to decide who do you love the more. I'm not judging nobody. I'm just saying what the scriptures say. That applies to me more. It applies to me first. It don't just apply to you. It applies to all people to prove who they love the more. Now, it comes to a day of decision in the Elijah message. This last day message, many people have walked away from this message and rejected it, laid it aside or ignored it or could not continue with it. Some of them may have some legitimate justification, But in the end result, you have to tell God, what is your justification for rejecting the greater truth and greater light of your destiny? What is going to be your answer in the days of the judgment?
Amen.
Well, you would have to answer for yourself. I don't have to judge you. I don't have to be against you. I have to love you and pray for you and forgive you. That's my responsibility. However, when you reject the greater part of God's plan and purposes, you have to have a legitimate, justified reason when you stand before God. Well, I didn't like Brother Lee. I didn't like Brother Nate. Okay, if you think that is going to be acceptable, then you'll have to go with that. Right?
Amen.
Well, somebody, I didn't like in the Church of Christ, they failed, or they crumbled, or they were weak, or they did this. If you think that's going to be acceptable reason for you walking away from your destiny in truth in the kingdom, then you'll have to give God that answer, and I guess, I assume that you think he's going to accept that.
Yeah.
If you reject Jesus for being your Lord and go to Islam or Buddhism or some other religion or politics and renounce the Lord Jesus and the gospel and walk away from it, or now God is a merciful God, a long-suffering, a patient, a loving God, and he understands everybody individually, every their situation, their difficult, and he knows you individually through and through. So I'm not going to try to judge you. I'm just saying, if you feel justified for walking away and renouncing because my husband is Islam and I have to give up my faith in the gospel, or my friends, they all are Buddhists, so I have to go with them, or they all don't believe in God, so I can't go around there. Then if you feel justified that that's going to be acceptable in the day of judgment, then you'll have to go with that.
Amen.
Yes, yeah, you'll have to go with that. If you feel that you're justified and saying that God's going to accept me for living a contrary style, what he said in the Bible, and I'm going to marry two men, and I'm going to marry because the law of the land says good, and God has changed his mind and changed his word to fit me and my sin and my desire, then I can, okay, for me to marry two men and two women or bisexual. If you feel strongly that God has changed his book and changed his word to fit you and fit me, then you'll have to go with that. Even though God loves you, will he change his word for you or change his nature for me? Will he?
Well, he won't.
Did he change it for Adam? Did he change it for Adam when he said you should surely die? Oh, well, I didn't mean that, Adam. Not really. I changed that. I'm going to change that because I see what the situation is. That all the world is in sin now. I got to change that. And then that make God a liar.
Right.
So he'll be just like us. He lies. So if you feel justified, and you'll be justified before God, if you feel strong, and a lot of people are deceived and tricky, have been told that God is going to justify, he's going to change his word. He is a merciful God. He is a loving God. He is a caring God. He is a long, compassionate God. He understands it. But is he going to change his words to fit us, or us? Do we have to fit his word? If he tells you, Brother Lee, you have to love those people that hate you and despise you, reject you, I ain't going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Because I feel justified. If they hate me, I'm going to hate them back. If I think that the Lord is going to change his plan, his purpose, his nature, his character to fit me, to please me, well, Lord, I think I'll change. It's okay for you to hate brother so-and-so. I'll make an exception to the rule for you. I just have to be a part-time liar. It's okay to be a part-time liar and deceiver. So I'll just change my nature just a little bit. So for you, yes, Is God going to change his nature? He is a holy, just, righteous, loving, faithful, true. Is he going to change things to fit? If you don't want to give up your tobacco, your alcohol, your drugs, your lying, your deception, your hatred, and God going to make it fit you because you are justified because they did me wrong, they did me evil, they did me wicked, so I have a right to despise and hate them. Now, you can despise the sin, you can despise the act, but you can't despise them.
Yeah.
Because you'll bring that same spirit into heaven.
Yeah.
I said you can't bring that spirit into heaven. It don't fit there. So I have to be reformed, changed, transformed, purified, sanctified, humble myself so I can fit heaven's qualification to get in. Now, I don't want you, Brother Nate, you're black or you're yellow. You cannot live in my neighborhood with my school because you're not sufficient enough, but I am a good Christian.
Yeah.
If you feel like this spirit is that you holding gonna get into heaven and it's gonna be in heaven, it must be in heaven now.
Mm.
If Peter says the righteous scarcely will make it in, where will the wicked and the ungodly stand? If the righteous barely escape and sparely make it in, where would the wicked and the ungodly of the unrighteous? If he didn't spare the angels, did he spare the angels who left their first estate and rebelled and had sex with the women and came down into forms? And did he spare them? Peter said, did he spare the angels who rebelled? But he provided for us human, the flesh and blood, the weakness of the flesh. He provided mercy for us and kindness and compassion and what? To recover ourselves and deliver ourselves because of Jesus, who is the just and merciful one. So I'm glad about Jesus because he's the only one who can give you mercy. Do you not know that Yeshua Mashiach, Jesus, the only one who can give mercy to the whole human race? There is nobody else. No one else in the whole of mankind but one person that can give you mercy for my sins, my iniquity, my rebellion, my darkness. There is no one in the whole plan of God but one person, one individual. I know, brother, that everybody going to get mad at you when they say, well, if you are Islam, you're Buddhist, you are Confucius, you are this, you are that, you are accepted it. God has changed his plan. He got many roads that lead to him, many roads that go away. Well, if that's the biggest lie that Satan has populated among the human race. But we who love you tell you that Jesus Christ, Yeshua, is the only redeemer and the only light that lighten your path to eternal life. Well, that's y'all view. Yeah, I believe the book.
Yeah.
Well, that's y'all view. Y'all fanatical views. Because God is too good. I want to tell you that he's too good to lie. Since you talk about how good he is, he's too good to change. I said, he's too good to change. His nature, his character, his word is true. He's too good. Well, he's so good. Yeah, he's so good that he made a way for you to escape through Christ.
Yeah.
No. The Bible said there will be no sorcerers. There will be no idolaters, no liars, no whoremongers, no perverts, no prideful, no racists, no evil will be there. So all of these things you have to be cleansed and delivered from and be changed. Well, I don't see it that way. I know. That's why the Bible is written, so you can see it God's way. You don't have to. You don't have to go by your opinions, because everybody got their opinions.
Amen.
So here we are on the what we call the seventh day. There is a controversy about the seventh day. There's a controversy about water baptism. There's a controversy about what we call three or one. There's a controversy about the Holy Ghost and baptism. There's a controversy about the new birth. There's a controversy about healing and deliverance and intercession. The controversy was he cast out demons that he raised today. There's a controversy about whether you should use Morgan Days or unprint words. There is a controversy whether you should wash feet or whether you won't wash feet or you're going to hell. There's a controversy whether you legalist, your sleeves are not above your wrist, you're going to hell. If you don't wear earrings, if you wear earrings, you're going to hell. All of these are... What else is it? Oh, the second coming of Christ is a great controversy. Is there a rapture, pre-rapture, post-mid-rapture? Are we going to escape the revelation? Are we going to escape the mark of the beast, the false prophet? Oh, my goodness. Is Jesus a prophet, or was he that prophet that Moses talked about? Controversy. Is everything fulfilled in the scripture and the next thing is the rapture? Controversy. Is that a mishap, a mistruth, a misapplication, or is that a just outright error?
Yeah.
Controversy. But the messenger of truth, the Elias, spoken in the scripture, has come and settled it. It's all settled. It's settled. He's come with the words of the everlasting gospel, pure gospel with complete purity and truth, it's settled. He come to put down all confusion. He's the Ancient of Days, the Elias, the elect one, the Elias for to come, the angel of revelation. He is the elect one of Isaiah, the ancient days of Daniel. He is the prudent one of Isaiah. He is the prophet of the highest of Luke. He's that prophet of Acts 3:20-21. He is the Elias. He is the Elias. He is the angel with the everlasting gospel. He is the chosen one with the midnight cry. Now, don't believe Brother Lee. Get on your knees and get that Bible and search it out with an honest and sincere heart and do what Jesus said, ask and it shall be given. You ask with a honest and sincere heart with all of your might, I shall be found of you, said. If you don't believe me, maybe you'll believe the witness of heaven. If heaven speaks to you and vivids you, and the word of God becomes alive to you and testifies in the Bible, the record Nephi, and the Bible and the Old Testament, if they testify to you what I'm saying is true, then ought you not to believe?
Amen.
Now, when Otto Fennes, a messenger of covenant, came to him and he died in 30 messages, and then they wanted to know, Brother Draves, 5 years later, the messenger started coming, one W.A. Draves, the angel started coming to him. People want to know, was they being deceived, or whether it's false, or was it of God? Then what did they do? They humbled themselves and began to fast and pray as a people until God answered them. And that's what you have to do about everything. People want to know, whether is God still speaking through normal life? All you got to do, humble yourself before God with a pure heart and a clean heart, and humble yourself and fast and pray and ask the Lord, do the same thing they did with Draves, same thing they did for Otto Fennings. That's what you should do. You don't accept nothing just because somebody said it.
Amen.
It must get a witness from heaven, and you must get a witness in the Old and New Testament and the Word of God. You must get a witness from heaven if you're going to stand from Jesus Christ from the throne of God. You must get all three witnesses, one from the apostles in the New Testament, one in the Old Testament, and a witness from heaven itself. The only reason Apostle Paul was able to be suffering all those things for the gospel, You know why he was able to stand and endure at all the suffering he did for the gospel and for the kingdom of God? Why he's called the suffering apostle more than them all? You know why he could not, the devil could not make him take back? Because he had an irrefutable, infallible truth. Irrefutable, infallible truth that was stamped in him from heaven when he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. That could not be shaken by death or anything. You must have a witness that cannot be shaken. And in these last days, or wherever your stand is in God, or what you know from God, you must have irrefutable rock truth and confidence and witness that's unshakable, because Satan is coming, and trials and difficulty, and people are coming, and betrayal is coming, and hurt is coming, and rejection is coming, and persecution is coming, and lying is coming, and accusation is coming. I must have irrefutable, infallible witness and truth from heaven and from the word of God if I am going to stand, because Peter was not, he denied Christ three times. He had not been transformed. He had not received the Holy Ghost. He had denied Christ three times, though he walked with him 3 years. That something must take place in your life. Peter denied Christ under pressure after he had walked, slept, talked, saw Jesus, did all the things. He denied him under the pressure of death three times. That's before the day of Pentecost came. At the day of Pentecost, he could not be shaken.
Amen.
You know why the devil hates Pentecost so much, the Bible Pentecost? You know why churches hate Pentecost? You know why they reject the Pentecost of the Bible? You know why they hate that word? The day of Pentecost was fully come, brother. You know why so many, even nice, good, sweet people, religious and church people, hate that Pentecost of the Bible. Many people hate that Pentecost of the Bible and don't want it. Don't want what the apostles had. Don't want what Mary had in the day of the book of Acts. They don't want it. They don't need it. They don't want it. They don't want the Elijah message, the last day truth called the present truth. They don't want the last warning. Well, I understand the weakness and failings of men can get in your way. The stumbling of men can fail in your way. Ultimately, God has provided, because he knows that weakness and failing of men going to get in your way. But he says, my sheep know my voice, and they will follow me. No matter what happens, they will follow me. They will come after me, no matter what man does. Ultimately, you notice how people, that everything happened to them, they don't leave their job. Majority of people refuse to leave their job, no matter what evil or wrong. They don't just walk away from their job today. They're a little stick by it. Do you notice how people stay in some marriages? The husband beat them every Friday night, take all the money, and knock them down the stairs, and they hang tough?
Yeah.
But when it comes to spiritual things, many people just give up easily and walk away from spiritual things. Why is that? They don't walk away from them pimps and them boyfriends and them gambling and then alcohol like that. It's hard to get people to give up alcohol or cigarettes, brother. But you know, you can just say a little word to the average Christian, and they'll walk away and give up. Isn't that strange?
Yeah.
Isn't that strange?
Amen.
Isn't that strange? But they won't walk away from that house. Child, I ain't giving my house up. I'll die before I give up my house, my car. I'll die. But when it comes to the things of the gospel and the kingdom of God, I give up. I somebody hurt my feelings. I'm walking away.
Amen.
Well, somebody help me here and correct me if I'm wrong. Because I had to deal with it. I had to deal with my own weak flesh and my own mistakes and my own failures. I'm telling you, God has made a way for you to overcome. And that's why he said in, seven times in Revelation, he that overcometh shall sit with me and rule with me. We're going to have to overcome a lot of things before we get there. And if you're not willing to pay the price, if you can't overcome Brother Lee or Brother Nate, definitely you ain't going to get there.
Yeah.
If I can't overcome you and overcome them that despise me, if I can't overcome them, like Jesus said he had to overcome, then I, brother. I tell people, if you plan on being in that new city, New Jerusalem, and enter those gates, and you cannot find the grace and the power of God to love me, and pray for me and hug me and see and bless me, how are you going to enter into that city if I can't love you, even though I know you hate my guts, hate my color, hate my stand, hate my this? If I can't have the love of the love that God has in Christ to overcome you, where do you think I'm going to convince the world that Jesus is real?
Yeah.
If I can't overcome one person, how am I going to convince the nations that Christ is the living God and the real God and prove that he's real? How am I going to convince them? And I can't even overcome one person that I don't like. How am I going to have convincing power like Elijah? Convicting power.
Amen.
Hallelujah. All right, we're almost at the hour. Well, I know Sister Anderson has been sitting back there in the cult, or she's maybe her and her husband and family are busy, and this is family, mostly family night on the weekend when family time, people spend time with their family and loved ones, which they should, because God wants you to rejoice with your family, rejoice with the saints, rejoice in life. And I think that's a good thing that we take time for life, because the book of Bible said the Lord wants us to live joyfully with our wife and our family and our whatever our business, to have joy and really rejoice in it. Sit down and have a good barbecue lamb and barbecue veal and just enjoy yourself.
Amen.
Amen. Take a trip to Hawaii if you feel and rest. God is not against you, because when you get there, I guarantee you, Jesus be with you, and he is going to overshadow somebody wherever you go.
Well, brother, we're going to welcome on Sister Anderson. God bless you, Sister Anderson.
Well, Sister Lily Anderson, we welcome
yes,
you, Sister. We welcome you. We're just having a fireside chat.
Amen. Amen.
So we welcome you to our fireside chat and fellowship, and just whatever you have a fireside chat that you want to share, whether it's family or it's vacation or health or healing or about housing, about our government or about the poor, the hungry, or about a joyful experience you had, or whatever, it'll be a benefit, I'm sure, to share our earth joined to heaven to many people around the world, because we have a lot of suffering people in many parts of the world who are going through a lot of difficulties. So whatever you suit to share, put in your heart there, sister, you can talk or share or ask or whatever, because this is Handmaiden Night.
Well, amen, and I was kind of sitting back and listening, and I just thinking I praise the Lord. Well, it wasn't that, we set the evenings aside for the Lord, for the broadcast. It's set aside. Every night we set it aside. We continue to pray and ask the Lord to bless and get in that broadcast when we not even able to log on. But we still pray, and I thank the Lord for the blessing, because I know that God is going to continue to do what he said he's going to do, and the word is going to continue to go forth, even though we might not be able to tune in to the broadcast. And I thank and I praise the Lord. When I woke up this morning, and I do consider every day a blessing. I consider every day a joy and a blessing, and I have learned, I don't care what come or go, that it's a blessing. When I can wake up in the morning and yet realize that it's a new day that I have not seen before, and I can get out of bed and I'm still breathing and able to see and walk, I consider it a blessing and a joy to me. And this morning, when I woke up this morning, I just kind of was just laying in bed for a few minutes and just thinking about the goodness of the Lord Jesus this morning. And after a while, I just kind of got up and start, you know, doing what I usually do when I get up in the morning, and still just thinking on the goodness of the Lord Jesus Christ, and just going about and praying. And, you know, I remember my as a kid growing up, my mom used to tell us all the time when she would get on us, and she would tell us that she know we're mumbling on our breath. But, you know, I can mumble under my breath and praise the Lord, and that's what I was doing this morning. And as I was doing that, you know, to myself, to me, I like to have my little quiet time. I got my own little place where I can kind of escape and go, and I thank and I praise the Lord for it. So on this morning, as I was praying from the bed and walking around and doing one thing and another, I was praying and talking to the Lord under my breath. And I don't know why, but I happened to get in the mirror. And as I was looking at myself in the mirror, a lot of things went across my mind. And one of the things is that, you know, a lot of things that the Lord was bringing to my mind is like, it's to me first. I'm looking at myself in the mirror. This goes to me first. And as I was praying and thinking on it, brothers, I'm telling you, the Lord laid all of you, Brother Lee, Brother Nate, Brother Keevan, Brother Emmanuel, and Sister Helen and her sisters. You know, I just think that I praise, and the Lord was just speaking to me. And the Lord was letting me know that he has commissioned you all. He has commissioned. I know that Sister Helen is a, people want to throw up that she's a female and she's a woman, but the Lord has commissioned Sister Helen. And I know that, you know, the troubles and the trials, as I was, you know, praying under my breath and thinking, and these different people was coming to my mind, and I'm praying for Sister Sally, and I thought about what the brother said on the broadcast last night. You know, the Lord haven't given it to us to beg. He said that all we have to do is ask. And, you know, talking to the Lord and asking a few things, you know, about Sister Sally, you called her, Jesus. You call her and lay your hands upon her. You said deliverance has come already. All we have to do is reach out and receive it. And different things was coming to my mind, and I'm just talking to the Lord. You know, to me, sometimes the Lord give it to us that we can challenge him. You know, you said it. You said it, Lord. Your word said it. I give you your word. We can word back to you because you said it. And all this was just going on this morning. And the Lord laid Brother Robert on my mind. And Brother Robert told me one time, he said, I guess it's not meant for me to have a wife. And, you know, I was reading some of the word, and the message came to my mind, you know. And when I said Brother Robert came to my mind this morning, and his words came back to me. And, you know, sometimes, like I said, the Lord had given it to me that he has commissioned you are for a job. You know, sometimes, these are Brother Robert's words, they are not mine. It is not meant for you sometimes to have a mate. Because when the Lord commissioned you for a job, I'm just going to say sometimes, you know, that mate gets in your way. And I, you know, and it's like whatever
that's
the
true.
Lord's will is. And the Lord brought to my mind the message, 9 and 20, the message book this morning. And, you know, we read it all the time where the word said there's going to be many trials and troubles and trials within and without the home. And Sister Helen, I'm telling you, the Lord has commissioned you for a job, and he's putting so much on your shoulders to try to get you to not call on his name and believe and worship in him. Brother Nate, I know you haven't. Brother Lee, I know you haven't. Trials within and without the home. But I'm telling you, the Almighty God is right there, and he's commissioned you. You know, and I have learned, when the Lord gives you something to do, you know what? He don't go back, as the brother was saying earlier. He don't go back and take his word back. You know, that's what I tell my husband all the time. I say, you know what? When the Lord say you're going to do something, you're going to do it. But it's up to you whether you want to come with one leg or one arm or one eye. But you're going to do it.
Right.
So why you want to come, you know, a half of a person and do it when you have the opportunity to be a whole person and do what the Lord
says?
That is something.
That is something.
They fight the Lord. They fight the Lord. But the Lord has already told us these troubles and these trials, they're going to come. And Sister Helen, I know they're up in your home. You know, Lord trying to get you through your sisters, you know. But I'm telling you, Lord have permission you.
Thank you, Jesus. Stand strong,
Brother Nate. Stand strong. Brother Emmanuel,
thank you, Lord.
Lift up your hands. The Lord said deliverance has already come. He said, reach out. The brother just said last night, you know, you have that begging spirit. And the Lord haven't given it to us to beg. He just said for us, deliverance has come already. The door is open. Brother Lee is awakening us to, in the message book, things that we have read and read and went on over them and didn't know. It's being awakened to us. And I think that I'm praying to God. I'm telling you, I had a party all by myself today, just me and Jesus, in the mirror. In the mirror. I prayed God for, you know.
Party time.
Let peace rule in your life. You know, that's what that devil is trying to do, to disturb and to destroy and try to rule and take away your peace that's in your life. And I just think that I praise the Lord. So I'm telling you, Sister Helen, the Lord has commissioned you. He has commissioned you.
Thank you, Jesus.
I tell you, sister, I'm standing in the gap for you.
Yes.
For Nettie, for Sally, I'm there for them. Because I was looking in that mirror, and the Lord going back and forth with this morning. You know, I know my prayers, not just mine, but so many people are praying for you and for your sister, for your strength, sister, for Brother Nathan, for all of you. But I'm going to let you all know, anything in the natural that I can do, let me know. Let me know. I'm willing.
Amen.
I'm willing.
Amen.
You know, and I'm just destroyed for it. And I'm telling you, the Lord is good.
Praise the Lord.
So when I've gotten to the point where people ask me, well, how you doing today? I'm blessed. I'm blessed.
Amen.
Glory in the Lord. And another thing the Lord told me, for the women, come and learn your place. You know, we don't know our place. Brother, I thank you all for helping. But trying to point the way and show us the way, even through this word. I think and I pray it because it said, women, come and learn your place. Not only as mothers and daughters and wives and workers and servants in Christ. You know, the Lord told me this morning that we have women. We're women of power. We're women of power.
Yep.
I think and I praise the Lord for this great day. I don't care what come or what go, it's been every day is a blessing to me. And I'm going to tell you, the Lord and I had a party in the mirror. You know, and I think and I praise the Lord for it. A new day.
Hallelujah.
Day I have not seen before. And, you know, he didn't have to let me see this October, October 2019, and give it a few more months of year 2020, you know, to me, it's amazing to just think about this.
Glory.
And I'm a woman of power. I want you men to know.
Hallelujah.
I'm a woman of power. I think and I praise the Lord for
Be bold. Be strong. Be very courageous.
Amen. Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
Be bold.
Lord.
Be strong.
Amen.
Be very courageous.
I'm a born believer in Christ Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus. Be courageous.
Amen.
Be not dismayed. Fear not.
Amen.
Be strong. Be bold. and be very courageous for your Lord.
Yes.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Wake up. We are women of power. Wake up. Wake up.
Awake.
You know, we're not just women, mothers,
yes.
daughters,
yes.
and wives. We are more
yes.
than.
More.
Than
much more.
More than. We're women of power.
Amen.
Power.
Amen.
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 Jesus.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
We want to welcome also Sister Helen on. God bless you, Sister Helen. How you doing?
Okay. God bless.
God bless.
God bless.
God bless. God bless. Be courageous.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you, Jesus.
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Glad to hear your sister, Sister Helen, mm-hmm. and your household, and this
Amen.
Glorious fellowship that we're having. Blessing and joy. Amazing how the Lord confirms. She was saying some stuff. She was amazing. Go ahead, sister. Sister Anna was saying some prophetic things.
You're right about that, brother, because I got a testimony on there, too.
You know, God was confirming. He always confirmed things, affirmed things in the mouth of two or three witnesses, how he's working to, hallelujah, to Jesus. And it was just amazing. I was listening to her, and just I have a 15-minute broadcast that I do every Saturday around it. And he was dealing with me about some of that. Yesterday, last night, I said, because I was asking him a little, you know, you have your little chat with the Lord. It's not, you know, I just have learned that I don't always have to be on my knees, always to chat with the Lord. I can chat with the Lord on my knees,
Amen.
Off my knees, on my bed, walking, or just sitting
Thank
down. Me and him can just have a little chat. You know, I ain't got to get religious. He's not a religious God. He's just my Lord. And you have your little chat with him and sit down and you just have a little talk with him because he wants sons and daughters. You know, fathers and sons should have their chat, and he's our dad, and we are his children. So we just have a sit down and talk to our dad, you know, and he loves that. We give him that little party in the mirror. Go ahead, sister. Go ahead, sister.
Amen. I thank the Lord for his word I heard on tonight. And, you know, when I just witnessed what Sister Anderson is saying, and, you know, and sometimes when you're just going through, you know, sometimes you can't hardly see your way. But you know what? I thank God for his grace and his mercy that
thank
he
you,
has
Jesus.
Toward us.
Yeah.
And, you know, and
thank
I even
you,
thank
Jesus.
The Lord for even allowing me to go and be with my sisters, you know.
Good.
And I've seen a lot of things. And I've seen the hand of God. You know,
Hallelujah.
How he began to just turn things around. And you know, how ministers came in, and they was praying, you know, with Sally. And this one lady minister came, and she was praying with her. And when the lady finished praying with her, then Sally turned around and caught her hand, and she began to start praying for this lady. And she said, she said, through all the time I've been a minister, I think she said like 20 years, and she would go out to the hospitals and she would pray with people. She said, you're the first one that ever prayed for me. You know, it just been a great blessing, you know, and I just truly thank the Lord. I thank
Hallelujah.
The Lord for all the prayers that went up. You know, we could just see great things and how things, you know, begin to just start turning around. You know,
thank you, Jesus.
And you could just see the amazement, you know, in the lady doctor's face. And, you know, and she knows it's God, it's him. Nobody but him.
Yes, yes, yes.
Thank the Lord for that.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen. I thank the Lord for the great testimony, Sister Anderson.
Yes.
Glory. You know, that we're going to have to arise to that place of
yes.
calling and that what the
yes.
Lord has called us to do. And, you know, and I truly
Amen.
Thank the Lord.
Amen.
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 Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
All right. It's,
you
yeah.
know, you know, I wanted to give a testimony right quick. And, you know, brother, what you were saying about how God confirms in the mouth of two or three witnesses. And I was listening to Sister Anderson and the word that she had told me when the Lord said, be strong. It's amazing. Today, I was driving to another town to make groceries, and my mind fell on two people, which was Mother Crockett as a story.
Mm-hmm.
And I was telling the Lord,
yeah.
I said, Lord, I miss them. And especially Sister Crockett. It just, and
mm-hmm.
so when I said that, it came to me about a year or two before Mother Crockett passed. She called me up one day. And she gave me Joshua chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. She even went through it with me when it said, be strong and of good courage. Now, that shut up, that word
yes,
came
Lord.
To me today. And then
yes,
I heard
yes.
Sister Anderson tonight
mm-hmm.
said it in the confirmation of the Spirit of the Lord. You know, because sometimes
mm-hmm.
you're thinking maybe sometimes this is you, but God
mm-hmm.
gives a confirmation. And I was just thinking
yes.
about, because I was talking to the Lord as I was driving. I said, Lord, I miss Mother Crockett. I said,
yeah.
I miss, and I, in my, like I said, my mind failed on when she called me a year or two before she passed. And she
mm-hmm.
said, brother, and at that time, I don't think Sister Crockett have ever called me. But she called me and she said,
mm-hmm.
brother, the Lord had me to give you these two verses. And she told me to turn to it, and I turned to it, and she began to talk to me about it. And it said, be strong
yes.
and of good courage. And
yes.
and that strengthened my spirit. So today when it came to me, because I was,
mm-hmm.
like I said, I was talking to the Lord, and I said, Lord, I miss Mother Crockett. And then I heard this from Sister Anderson tonight. And I see the amazing move of the Lord and the confirmation of the Spirit of God.
Mm-hmm.
And God knows the things that you're encountering, you're going through. And sometimes you're talking to the Lord, and sometimes
yes.
we put God in one way to answer
mm-hmm.
when we should be open for him to answer the way he chooses. And so, therefore,
yes.
he answered, but he gave a confirmation through Sister Anderson. And so
yes.
God will let
Thank
you know at times when you're thinking, God, is this you speaking? To bring the assurance, he gives the confirmation. So I thank God for that.
Amen.
Amen.
It's amazing how the Lord – how he takes the witnesses in a great and a confirmation way. I was thinking the other day, how, and he was, he was telling me, because I miss Mother Crockett and Brother Crockett.
Yeah.
And I was thinking today, I said, yeah, I really miss Mother and her husband. They were true friends. And you
yes.
don't find two loyal friends. And I think how a friend she was and her husband and Brother Crockett, and I was thinking about different ones, how they had added to my life.
Yeah.
And they had added much to my life. And she's been on my mind, Mother Crockett. And I said she was always that special person and her husband, that special person in my life, in my past. Hallelujah. And I was thinking about, yes, I really miss other week it was I miss my brother Clark and because he was always ready for a good fight, and he never ran away from a good fight. if you need somebody
yeah.
to be there to win you for a fight, you call Christine and Brother Clark.
Amen. Amen.
And so I was just thinking and being brought back to my life about the special place God had placed them in our lives
yes.
to help us and remind us of the enduring faith. So I was just thinking,
mm-hmm.
and he was thinking, I said, you know, I said, there's nobody, I was thinking about Sister Crockett, about Sister Lester, story about a couple hours ago about her, the uniqueness about her, and how she added to people's lives and families
yes.
in such a
yes.
loving, caring way, concerning about people. And these things that God bring back to your memory. So I was just reminiscing how the Lord was bringing people's lives that he placed in my way
yes.
to boost my life. I'm grateful for them.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. I was thinking about one more. I was thinking, because man, then he'll bring like Sherry Townsend, and he was
yes.
teaching me a lesson about Sherry McFarland. She's Meg McFarland now, but Sharon Townsend. And
mm-hmm.
and I will say, you know, one of the things I like about Sharon Townsend, she was always the same, and she was never not
mm-hmm.
phony. She was not,
mm-hmm.
she was always what she was. She was not phony. And
yes.
And she's always been that person to be real. Whatever it is, she was real. And I appreciate her because she was never a phony. And, you know,
amen.
And
amen.
And how she still remains a friend.
Yes.
People don't always have the friendship that endures.
Amen.
But I know these enduring, God-loyal friendships have been a blessing and can be a blessing to you in many areas of your life. So, anyway, it's just been rejoicing. I was thinking about Sister Sally back here another week, the things
mm-hmm.
That had gleamed for her
yes.
and going into her home. So the Lord is not through. He still, I was thinking about Sister Helen. I don't know why particularly he has a great commission upon your life. I don't understand it because it ain't my business to try to understand.
Yes.
That's his.
Mm-hmm.
That's sister. Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And I said,
mm-hmm.
Lord, I said, do you use women in the ministry? I mean, can you do that? And because, you
mm-hmm.
know, so many people disapprove of that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have their own little special thing. Well, you know, you can't do that, and God can't do that, and God don't do this. And they don't
mm-hmm.
even know God, really. I said,
mm-hmm.
and the Lord said, you know, they don't really know all about me. They think they know. They
amen.
Know. They don't know the depths of
mm-hmm.
me. They don't know the sovereignty of me, what I can do and what I will do with a person's life that has yielded
amen.
To me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
He just want a yielded vessel, whether it's male or female. I don't know.
Yes, Lord.
I said, I can do what I will to do.
Amen.
I will to do. And
amen.
I don't have to answer to any man.
Amen.
Thank God he's not answerable mm-hmm. to any man. Why he do this and why he do that. Thank God for Jesus.
Yes.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes. Listen,
mm-hmm.
my former
thank
wife,
you.
She laid hands on this sister and destroyed that cancer in her life. And nobody didn't even know that she had cancer. And she didn't
mm-hmm.
tell anybody. And she walked up and commanded, I remember that was it, and she commanded that cancer, that spirit cancer to go. And
yeah.
the woman was so I didn't know, how do you know I had cancer? And I didn't tell nobody. I didn't nobody even know. But here, she laid hands on her and commanded it. Well, you know, we can't do that. Well, ask the person that got free, do they worry about what you think?
Amen. Amen.
Ask the crippled man that Peter said rise, and he went shouting and jumping and shouting and rejoicing, and you tell him
yes.
well, you should not be dancing and shouting. That's unseemly. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So, let's fall in love with Jesus all over again.
Yes, Lord.
Amen.
Amen. Yes, Lord. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Sister Harley, we stand for you in heaven and earth in your family. We still stand
yes.
with
yes,
perfect
yes.
agreement.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus. Yes.
Our hands
yes.
touch.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our hands
thank you.
Touch.
Yes, Lord.
Our hands touch.
Thank you, Lord.
Our hands touch.
Thank you, Jesus.
Our hands reach out.
Yes,
yes.
Lord.
Because
thank
of
you.
Jesus, our
yes,
Lord.
Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. Thank
sisters,
you.
He has put miracles and deliverance in some of your hands. Do not
Jesus.
Fear.
Jesus.
Do not fear to release it.
Thank you, Lord.
If
yes.
They
Jesus.
Throw Jesus out of synagogue.
Yes.
They throw him out of town.
Thank
Don't
you,
worry
Jesus.
About man.
Amen.
Don't fear man.
Thank
fear
you.
God.
Amen.
Fear the
Thank
Lord.
You.
Yes.
Fear the Lord. Thank
yes,
you.
Lord.
He had put miracles and deliverance in some of the
Thank
women's
you.
Hands.
Thank
you, Jesus. Yes, Lord.
And we pray
Thank
for sister
you.
As we leave also, sister. It
Thank
is secret
you,
that the,
yes.
the fear of man will leave
yes.
her and that
yes.
the Lord has placed in her life would rise again.
Yes,
and she will lose
Jesus.
The fear into the distance of men because she's a woman and they say, you can't do this.
Yes.
Fear
yes.
God. And live.
Fear
yes, God
Lord.
And honor him and arise.
Yes. Yes,
and let
Lord.
The works the Lord has placed on your life
yes.
break forth.
Yes,
yes
Lord.
Let the marvelous work of God bring you out of that
break.
Bed. Bring
yes,
you
yes.
out of that which hold you.
Yes,
Jesus
yes, Lord.
Is the lover of your soul.
Yes.
Jesus is the lover of your life.
Yes.
Bless
yes,
Brother
yes.
Eddie Secrets
yes, yes.
and his
yes,
wife. You have placed them together in ministry together.
Bless them, Lord.
Thank you. Together
Lord.
As Aquila Jesus. And Priscilla.
Bless them, Lord.
O
Jesus.
Lamb of God.
Yes,
Satan,
Lord.
The Lord rebuke you.
Yes.
You
Jesus,
is a
Satan.
Liar and a cheater and a stealer
yes.
of people's destiny
yes.
in God. You will steal our destiny in God, but the Lord rebuke you. The Lord Jesus rebuke you. Rebuke you. The Lord,
yes, Lord.
God, we rebuke
you.
We stand against you. We stand as one, and the Lord our God rebuke you. We stand to rebuke you in Jesus' name.
Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank
you, Lord.
We thank you, Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus.
All
thank
right.
You.
We
thank
love you
Jesus.
All. There's yet
Amen.
A work to be accomplished. And
yes,
Satan
Lord.
Is a liar.
Yes,
Satan is still a liar.
I am still a liar.
Amen.
Thank
yes.
you, Jesus.
We thank God for another blessed broadcast. In the name of Jesus Christ. Don't forget tomorrow night for those of you listening, another God's Word to Man
yeah.
broadcast. We will continue on concerning the Masonic Order. So therefore, we ask you to tune in and look for the advertisement at 7 o'clock tomorrow night. Therefore, we thank God for all of you that have been listening. As for Brother Lee, Brother
yeah.
Nate, Sister Helen, and Sister Anderson,
Lord.
We love you all. May God bless you and may God keep
Amen.
You in Jesus' name.
God bless
Amen.
You.
God bless you
Amen.
All.
God bless
you. Mm-hmm.